Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Play ball!
Bruce Levine, 670 The Score baseball analyst.
It is all baseball.
32 years baseball veteran reporter.
Bruce, I've known you for a number of years now.
Breaking stories faster than a cheetah can run. And as far as I know, cheetahs are speedy.
I went ahead and broke the story on Twitter and then, of course, had to write a story on the website at 670thescore.com.
Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine.
By the way, I loved you in The Wizard of Oz.
Bruce Levine.
Mullen Hadley, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Bruce Levine joins us on the CDW hotline. CDW making IT solutions work for you. Orchestration by CDW. CDW, people who get it. He is the Score's baseball expert. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. And when is a loss a good thing on a day where you lose 4-0 to your arch rival? It's probably yesterday where you hear good news about Yu Darvish going ahead. Chatwood, even though he loses the game, finds his swerve as far as throwing more strikes. So it can be a positive, even though in a whitewash where you only get two hits, the Chicago Cubs see a couple of guys improving and getting ready to help them more in the second half.
So that, well, let's start. I mean, first of all, Chase Anderson has the Cubs number, and that just seems to be the case, and it was certainly the case last night. Chatwood, that was the walks I get. He only had a couple walks. It was a 3-1 count on Shaw's double, right? I mean, he wasn't exactly ahead of the hitter a couple times there. So
that's right.
So I don't know. I'm just not willing to just be that, give that, you know, praise to Chatwood every time there's incremental improvement. I don't even know if it was that.
Look, you have to be honest about it. He gave up 4 runs in the first 4 innings. They were basically out of the game with the way that Anderson pitched and the way their offense. Look at their offense right now, guys. You take away that big inning that they had in extra innings the other day, okay? You take away that, and they've scored 8 runs in 5 games, okay? That's not going to get it done, okay? You're just not going to get it done. That's why Joe plays defensive, offensive baseball and takes a guy, his starting pitcher, out in a 1-0 game in the 5th inning. It's not that he is trying to reinvent the wheel or be someone that's entertaining or fun. He knows his offense just can't get it done right now. I mean, you have a team that hit well over 200 home runs last year. They almost set a record for the franchise, second highest in their history. And they're on pace for 160 home runs right now. Nobody is powering the ball out of the place except for Rizzo, occasionally Schwarber, and that's pretty much about it. You have Bryant on pace for somewhere around 18 or 20 home runs. You have Contreras, who had 21 home runs and missed an entire month last year, on pace for about 12 home runs. So, again, they always say, even though they're trying to mass produce runs and do it in a way other than the home run, we're a home run hitting team. They have not been that, and that's why they've been playing a lot of close games. And they've been nail biters because of the fact that the starting pitching, the bullpen's been really good. The run production has not.
What do you? I mean, there's been a little bit of a power outage. We understand that with a couple of big run producers, and maybe that comes into play here. What do you attribute that to?
I attribute it to the fact that they have very similar batters, and they're pitched to in a very similar way. Do they have on-base percentage guys? Yeah. Rizzo's an on-base percentage guy. Bryant's an on-base percentage guy. They're up at the top of the order. Ben Zobrist is an on-base percentage guy. Do they have guys that can run outside of Bryant and occasionally Hap when he's in there? No. So Joe doesn't do hitting and running. As a matter of fact, hardly any managers in baseball do now because of the metrics and the way the home run has impacted games. And from that perspective, when you're not hitting home runs, you're going to have a hard time scoring runs. You're going to have a tough time getting a man on first, getting him over to third, and scoring him. It's been very difficult for the Chicago Cubs. They're not the Lone Ranger when it comes to this, but certainly from the perspective of manufacturing runs, this is not a team that does that very well.
Okay, in the case of Chris Bryant, who's, one extra base hit and two RBI in the last 10 games. He's on an 0-for-16 with six strikeouts.
One home run in a month now.
Yeah, so on a scale from zero to, oh, my God, he's turning into Mick Kelleher, where's your concern?
I don't have a lot of concern for Bryant. This is an extended, long period of time where we haven't seen home runs. The OPS has dropped 150 points.
That's a career high. High 24 games without a home run. We haven't seen it before.
We haven't. You believe in the player and you believe in him getting out of it. The funk that he's in, where he's popping things up, and he's hitting things on the handle. We haven't seen a lot of it. He's had slumps before. It's not a guy that hits 400 every year, but he's such a good player, and he expects so much out of himself that you can see him putting an awful lot of pressure on himself. He's not relaxed up there, not taking the Bryant swing. He still takes his walks, but you can't say that his at-bats are good, because even when he's working the count in his favor, he's not doing much with that pitch right now. So I guess you can say even the best players in the game, and Bryant is right up there, the top 10 players in Major League Baseball, top 7 if you want to break it down. The fact is that he has to go up there, relax, and get that bat head out. He's not doing that right now.
It's on the south side, one of the storylines is that somehow Yoan Moncada is getting squeezed by umpires, and that's why he's striking out. He did strike out a couple times, and he said it's on him to adjust. But what do you make of that idea that has been floated by both the manager and general manager?
Not a good idea. Not even if it's true, not a good idea to publish that. It just doesn't work to your advantage. And that means that you're impugning the integrity of Major League umpires by saying that they're picking on one guy. Okay. You can't have it. You can't. First of all, it doesn't work for the player. It doesn't work for the team. It doesn't work for the manager or the franchise if you say that. It's just not functional. And why would an umpire pick on Yoan Moncada? He's not a troublemaker. He hasn't been in umpires' faces. The reality is he's not adjusting and he's not hitting at all from one side of the plate. The right hand is hitting 194. There's no power numbers there. Maybe we should be talking about he goes to the cage and he starts working these next 3.5-4 months on just hitting from one side of the plate.
Well, yeah,
maybe that's the function.
Bruce, we talked about that yesterday. Do you pull the plug on the idea of a switch hitting and just say, all his home runs are from all the powers from the left side, all 9 home runs, and he's much better. The splits are drastically different between the two sides of the plate, but I think most of us agreed yesterday when we talked about it, and good to hear Todd Steverson weigh in saying it's too early in the season and his career to give up on that. And since everyone, you're in rebuild mode and it's all about development, let him develop this season and then maybe in the offseason revisit it and say, okay, either it looked better or it didn't, and go from there.
If you're the White Sox and you're Steverson and you're the general manager and the vice president of baseball operations, the owner, you can do it because you're still in rebuild mode. You're not expected to win a lot of games. You're not expected to compete and jump over other teams. Yeah, you can do it. I just don't. If it's a determination that you made that he can't hit from the right side in the major leagues, I'd say the sooner you get to the experiment, the better. If you believe that's something you want to visit in the off season, this is experimental mode for the White Sox. You might as well do it right now. Look at it as instructional league at the major league level. Let him do it here. Let him take extra BP. Mess around with it. He's not going to look any worse from the left side against these pitchers than he's looking from the right side against left-handers at this point.
Davidson had a couple of doubles yesterday. We've been waiting for the power to come back to him. He, you know, batted two of them off the wall, so that's a good sign.
It is, but, you know, the strikeouts are just piling up higher and higher for Davidson, and he's always going to strike out. Look, if he gets 600 at-bats, he's going to strike out 200 times. Okay, that's just the way it is. Can you live with that and 30 to 35 homers and 80 to 90 runs batted in? That's pretty much the mode he was in. He was hurt for a while. The back was giving him some problems, so he's starting to swing the bat better, kind of like he did when, you know, the first month of the season where he was putting up some record pace setting numbers, you know, especially against, you know, those crazy numbers against Kansas City where he hit, what, 7 home runs against them in the first month. So, yeah, I mean, he's somebody that fills a need right now. You know, is he somebody down the road that you can trade and get something really good back? I don't know about that. I know James Shields is somebody that you're going to be able to trade and get something good back, because other than that hiccup in his last start, you have 9 starts in a row where he's had 9 out of 10 where he's had quality starts, and for a change they got him a few runs to work with. And he has just been a terrific pitcher to watch. He's not a sexy pitcher anymore because he doesn't have the power pitchers he had, but, you know, watching him go through a pretty good Cleveland lineup yesterday was impressive.
So why wouldn't you get that done sooner than later, like today? Because no matter if he continues quality start after quality start, his stock's not appreciably rising, right? You're not necessarily going to get much more in return if you do it on June 13th today or 3 weeks from now.
Brian, they would drive him to the airport and thank him. And, you know, I mean, they're not in the mode of, hey, you stink, we want you out of here. They're saying, you're really good, we want you to stay good, because as you say, Brian, now's the time to strike. Unfortunately, it takes 2 to tango.
Yeah, but what you're going to have to do is write a check, whether it's now or in July. So
yeah, they don't care about the money. I mean, that's already spent. You know, they would like to get a really good prospect back for James Shields.
Good luck.
And there's not the pressure to move him right now. They still have to fill important innings, you know, the rest of the season. Not important from the standpoint of winning games, but just not bringing up somebody too early from the minor league. So from that perspective, you know, again, would they trade him tomorrow if they heard the right prospect? Yes, indeed. They would do it today, tomorrow, the next day. That's not anything but saying good things about James Shields, who should be able to help a contender going down the line.
All righty, Bruce. Thanks, buddy.
Guys, have a great day.
Take care, Bruce.
That's Bruce Levine, Scores baseball experts. Pity he's not a general manager.
Yeah, I wouldn't have
James Shields.
I wouldn't have to hear a good deal. I just have to hear my.
I would do.
I would hear my ringtone. I would say,
yes.
"Oh, you're interested. James. All right, he's gone."
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.